You're listening to another great episode of We Speak Dispatch, sponsored by our friends at Watson.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of We Speak Dispatch. And just a little bit ago, we were talking about how we prepare for podcasts and what our responsibility is. And today, we are joined by some of our normal cohorts. We got John over there. John, how you doing?
Good. Good to see you.
And we've got Jill with us. Jill?
Hello.
Doug is also with us. So we thought it'd be a great idea to talk about what is your responsibility when it comes to being a 911 dispatcher. And I'm going to throw out the first question and anybody can answer it. And it's one that I've always thought, what would you do if you took a call that's not in your jurisdiction? And we'll make it an easier starting one. And they say, we cannot reach the jurisdiction we live in. What do you do and how do you handle it?
Wow.
So
I guess it depends on the type of call.
Yeah. Go ahead,
you're talking about like a priority call, rape, murder, homicide, stalking, anything that could be like domestic violence, I think you would send somebody out at that point. If you're talking about like theft from auto, something that occurred 3 weeks ago, it would have to depend on the incident, basically.
Yeah,
but I think if it's of a priority incident, you would want to send somebody out there at least to get somebody rolling out there, especially if it's they could be in danger or some sort of horrible situation they're in.
And obviously it depends on the location. Is it an adjoining jurisdiction versus one that's like three counties over? I mean, we're not going to send officers out that far. It's just not going to happen. But one thing that our policy was, if we cannot reach a jurisdiction, like this caller couldn't in this example, take the information yourself and have a partner or you after disconnect, call the jurisdiction directly. A lot of us have private lines or direct lines of jurisdictions that don't go through a 911 queue, or if they do, they're typically raised in the phone queue higher than the public. Or some of us have like mutual aid radio systems. So if I broadcast on a certain channel, I can relay the information to another agency that's listening. Yeah. So there are a lot of resources to use. Not necessarily daily, but it can be done.
Yeah. Even the NCIC system I'd throw out there, if you didn't mention that one. Teletype to the agency saying, please acknowledge this. But I'm going to give a question because I know Doug likes talking about training and policies and everything else.
Well, so can Doug, I please, let me just at least respond to the last question, because I have a thing with that. Because back in the, when I was a dispatcher back in the late 90s, our commissioner at the time came and told all of us, listen, if the local police don't want to go, we go. I don't want to hear about it at all. And he goes, if they want some white door, because our patrol cars have white doors, said if they want some white door in their area, we're sending them in there. And so we were getting some pushback from the locals saying, why are you guys in town? It's like, because we're the state police. We can go anywhere in town. So it was a big thing. But I remember he was very adamant about, we go. If somebody refuses to go take a report or something like that, we're going. And it's that simple. And I was like, wow, that was pretty good to me. That was a good statement. So go ahead.
I would just say decrease the liability by making sure you do something with the information instead of doing nothing. Doing something is always better than doing nothing, in my opinion, anyhow.
Wow.
And I would add to that, when you're talking about doing something, is create a CAD event, at least as a documentation or what we call an advised event, that just says this event occurred, you can use the address in most CAD systems and force it in. So it's not geo-verified, but it'll still be accepted. And yes, there is a recording of the call, but there's nothing better than just taking another 2 minutes to document something in the CAD system that's more easily retrievable.
It's just infuriating when sometimes police are busy, they don't have enough officers, they can't go, and the people are just kind of left hanging, where, you know, we were told we're going to send them. And I remember specifically the commissioner was like yelling this point saying, we pay for your gas. You're not paying for it. Fill up your car and go. And I was like, wow.
Another interesting one when it comes to responsibility to me has always been, does your behavior match your policy? And so when I talk about what is your responsibility, and we'll say you have your policies and you have to sign off on them yearly, monthly, maybe never, whatever it is at your agency. So when it comes to whatever policy you have at your agency, what is your responsibility when it comes to following it and or pointing out things that maybe need to change?
Wow. I'm still surprised that I still get occasionally people in my classes that will tell you, we have no policy. I'm like, how is that even possible in today's day and age that you have no policy? I mean, how do you enforce anything? How does anybody know what they're expected of them? It's like, there's nothing. So
word of mouth, I guess.
Word of mouth. And I'm just assuming this, I guess what I should do with this. And it's like, so, I mean, I personally think that, that going over policy, reviewing policy should be an ongoing all the time situation, because people will forget what the policy was, or maybe they'll think, I thought it was this, or I heard it was that. Well, and it's like,
I love, Doug talks about dispatch folklore. And I think going over policy and reviewing policy at least yearly keeps everybody in check. So you don't have that dispatch folklore like that goes on for years. You end up being dysfunctional for years because nobody ever told you otherwise, or you never knew otherwise. So I think it's everybody's responsibility, especially management, to have them go over at least once a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to something that came to mind as I told individuals, you don't have to agree with the policy, but if you choose to work here, you got to follow it. Like, these are the rules. So, I mean, and I admit it, I didn't agree with all the policies that our agency had.
Yeah.
They weren't out of date necessarily, but they weren't, the, you know, the, I didn't agree with some of the practices, but I said, well, I'm going to work here.
There were several policies.
I know where the lines are.
Yeah. You got to know where to play. If you give the dispatchers, this is where you can play in this field here, they'll stay there. But if you have no goals at all, they'll go all over the place. So we have to kind of have rules in place.
But I totally think that I would like.
Yeah.
The only things I'd like to see with policy also is not only just reading it, but if you have time, also demonstrating understanding and documenting that as well, that you actually know how to do it. So the third one I'm going to throw out there, but what is your responsibility is a new person starts. You're not management. You're not leadership. You are a frontline employee. What is your responsibility to welcome them to your agency? Because a lot of 911 centers out there are facing being short-staffed or high turnover or low morale. So speak to the frontline employees and your answers. What's something they can do, or what is your responsibility to welcome a new person to your agency?
Introduce yourself.
But when I was going through training, I had a particularly really hard day training. Like it was just one of those days where everything tanked. And I just thought I was doing the most horrible job ever. And I'll never forget the girl that was sitting next to me leans over and goes, I know it's been a hard day, but you're doing really good. You're doing really good. And I was like, that kind of changed things for me. Cause I was like, okay, if, like she's not my trainer. She's just somebody sitting next to me and she recognized that I was doing a good job. And that really did give me a new perspective and kind of gave me the encouragement to keep going. So I think just those little words, hey, you're doing a good job, is sometimes very important.
Totally agree.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's wildly important. And I talk about this in a lot of my classes, that I've always believed the training starts day one, hour one, minute one. As soon as that person walks through the door, if they walk into an environment where they can feel like I don't belong here, this is not good, that's going to impact training. Cause they're going to say, why did I give up a good job at Starbucks to work here? Why did I give up this great job I had out there for in here where nobody wants to talk to me, nobody looks at me and all that stuff. So I think it's incumbent upon all of us, every single employee, to come up with some way to say, we're glad you're here. I've seen agencies do it where they write messages on the whiteboard before somebody comes by in. We used to do cupcakes to welcome somebody in, take pictures with the stuff. All these things are so simple to do, but they can matter so much to somebody who may be feeling scared. Think about your first day. I mean, when you walked into place, I don't know of anybody so far that I've met that when they walked through the door their very first day, they got a standing ovation. I mean, it doesn't happen. It's like, but these little tiny things can make such a big difference to somebody. Just telling them, we're glad you're here. Thank you for coming. Because guess what? When you want Christmas off, maybe that person can work for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One of the things I like that we did at my agency, you know, we had a 12-week academy. So everyone came in day one, hour one, minute one together with management and that kind of thing. And, you know, everybody introduces themselves once and management introduces themselves. So it's a two-way street. It's an open forum
conversation. Yeah.
But then in the afternoon, it's just the instructors and the new recruits.
Yeah.
But one of the things I really liked, what we did called the A-B game. And it was just a fun game. Got people up. You know, you're kind of like so tired of just listening to the business. But who are the people I'm actually working with in my group of 10 or 8 or 6 kind of thing that are in my class? And the AB just flashed something on the board and it said like Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts. And people had to walk to which side of the room.
Oh, look at that.
That was on. And then, of course, the ham over here. So I would play as I was in the training department. I used to get up and I'd be like, okay, what do you order at Starbucks? Okay, what do you order at Dunkin'? you know, that kind of thing. And really, like, get everybody laughing and do it. So it wasn't just walking between the sides. But it really got engaged depending upon, like, favorite, you know, dog or cat. And people had to choose. And if they were on, like, the cat, you know, then go around. Okay, what's your dog's name?
Yeah.
What kind of breed is the dog?
That's cool. I like that. That is cool. I like that.
I like that a lot, too. That's really good, John. The fourth one for what's your responsibility is technology advancements. And I'm not necessarily talking about technology at your agency, but technology on the horizon. In 911 centers, they're adding video to it. They're adding text messaging to callers and turning on their camera. They're adding things where squad cars can listen to 911 calls from the squad car. They're adding all this new and evolving technology, and maybe you have all that already at your agency. But what can you do as an employee rather than relying on the agency to make the technology advancement? What's your responsibility in taking some of this initiative on your own and starting to learn about technology advancements that your agency could face during downtime at your agency? What could you do?
I have a great answer.
Go ahead.
Can we all be the judge of that? Can we all?
Yes. Y'all can decide. So I think one of the important things to do, and this is going into the season of conferences, that if you are a frontline dispatcher going to conferences, to stop by all those vendors and listen to what they have to say about the emerging technology. Like the vendors put on classes about emerging technology. I'm gonna stop saying that word. You have NG 911 classes. You have all these vendors who spend so much money out to come and show dispatchers what the new technology is, that if you're given an opportunity to go to a conference, they give you, most conferences now give you 2 or 3 hours, at least during the conference, of just exhibit time. Mm-hmm. So go check out those exhibitors, check out what's coming, so you can go back to your agency and say, hey, this is on the horizon. Do you think we're getting it? So
I like that.
You win.
Was that a good answer?
That's a good one.
Yeah, that was very good. That was very good.
You know what I always try to tell people? I always try to remind people, this kind of tells you about my age, but old glass Coke bottles used to have imprinted on the bottom, no deposit, no return. And I always tell people, take that to heart and say, what deposits are you making in your career to get a return? If you know there's upcoming technology, go research it. Go talk to somebody. Go and check another agency. Invest in yourself. It's the best investment you'll ever make. And it's like, just take the time to say, I'm not going to wait for somebody else to show me what this is. I'm going to go find it. And I'm going to look it up. It's kind of like that what three words. Remember when that thing came out? I heard about it on one of our broadcasts. Somebody said it. I contacted them right after that and said, who are you? What do you guys do? They sent me all this stuff. And I'm like, it's taken that initiative to say, let me invest in myself and get that deposit. And then I'll get a good return on it because I can use it in classes or whatever. So that's my
another thing. And I'm going to steal from Doug again, is if you're at a conference or you're working in your agency and your allied agency has that technology that could be emerging in your center, do a dispatcher exchange, go sit over there for a couple hours, go find out what kind of technology it is. I mean, I know where John came from is pretty high tech and pretty technology forward. So anybody that would live in that area, that would be a great place to go and check it out and see what's coming. Like,
Or see, why aren't you pursuing that?
Yeah.
Like, so, it could be emerging and great, but you don't know, well, why are you not doing it? Well, it doesn't fit with our practice for AD&T, or maybe we have something else on the horizon.
Yeah. But I mean, there's always free resources out there. Yes, and it doesn't
totally have to cost money.
Yeah. Joe, what's your answer to that, Joe? You didn't answer that one.
I didn't answer any of them.
That's true.
I'll answer the last one here. The last one we're gonna hit on this episode is recruitment.
Oh God.
All right. And it's not just a leadership thing or an agency thing. So what is your responsibility, no matter where you're at in your 911 center, when it comes to recruitment? What are some things that you can do? And since I didn't answer the last one, I'll say be cognizant of all your social media posts. Watch what you're sharing. Make sure you're hitting the right audience and talking positively about as much things as you possibly can, because when you're negative publicly, if they can easily find out where you work, they're going to think you're negative about your agency. So just know that you are a representation on and off duty. I get that you need to be off duty as well and enjoy your personal life, but publicly, make sure you represent your agency as positively as you possibly can. And that's my idea for recruitment. Wow. Now it's up to you guys on the last topic of what's your responsibility as a 911 dispatcher when it comes to recruitment.
Well, I talk a lot about recruiting, and I talk about the fact that you can get a lot of free stuff out there if you just know what to do. Like where I used to work, I knew the media people there. I knew the station KSBY and stuff like that. I could call them and say, hey, are you going to be at the farmer's market? Because we're going to be out there talking about recruitment. And they would immediately send a crew over. It cost us nothing. We would be on every local radio station, K-Frog and all these other damn places out there, K-Jug. And it's like, we were out there. It didn't cost us anything, but it got the message out to, you know, hundreds of thousands of people out there, got this message sent out that we're hiring, all this stuff. I used to get calls all the time from other agencies saying, how did you guys get invited to do that? Oh, no. We called them and said, could we do this? And I said, sure, why not? Come on in. So that's a free thing for me.
I wouldn't say necessarily recruiting, but when you have new employees, treat them kindly, because they were, although you're not part of the recruitment process, they're still new. Treat them kindly. Mm-hmm. Don't be so nasty. Don't their first day. Don't go, oh God, I don't know why you're here. Like you just made the worst mistake of your life. Like new people don't need to hear that. And that's not going to help in ultimately retaining people.
And to end this episode, I'm going to do something completely different, which normally we don't do. Usually Doug and I pass it back and forth to end episodes, but I'm going to show how responsibility comes into play in a podcast. John, take it home. Tell us where they can find us, how they can contact us and all that good stuff. Show them, John, that your responsibility is always to be listening. Go ahead, John.
Okay. If you're not listening and talking dispatch, I don't know what the hell you're talking about, but it ain't us. So we're in 40 countries, over 22,000 podcast daily plays and all that jazz. You can find us on streaming services on Apple, iHeart, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, Rambler. You name it, we're there. Go find it.
That's awesome. Thank you, John, for closing it out. And remember, your responsibility is to add value to the citizens you serve, the agencies you dispatch for, and your coworkers. So make it a great shift and a great day, everybody. Have a good day. See ya.
Watson Consoles is a proud sponsor of the We Speak Dispatch podcast. For more information or to schedule a showroom tour, visit watsonconsoles.com.